Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 23, familiar passage. We're going to jump around in the Bible a little bit this morning, so get your search fingers ready. And while you're turning there, let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Lord, your word is our bread. Your word is our strength. Your word is you, Jesus. And we ask that you open this word and open our hearts to receive what you have today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to, like I said, we're going to jump around a little bit, but most of us can quote the majority of this chapter, but we're just going to look at just the first verse this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, there's a couple of ways we can say this. We can say it the way we kind of read it. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. But as I was praying this week, the Lord told me we should say it this way. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Notice the emphasis. It sounds a little better when we put it that way. You know, Eddie's Jewish Bible, Adonai, the Lord God, the Almighty, the all-powerful, the supreme, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. And therefore I shall not want. Now, we are a needy people. And what we call needs are really often wants. We're told the three basic needs of man are food, shelter, and clothing. We know that man cannot live by bread alone, so really as a Christian, we need food, shelter, clothing, and the Word of God, right? Those are our basic needs. But what we call needs are really wants, and wants are covetousness. And we're told, thou shalt not covet. So when I understand that the Lord is my shepherd, then the answer to that is, I don't really need anything else. I shall not want. The Bible says, having food and clothing, let us therewith be content. The scripture says, godliness with contentment is great gain. And so, when I begin to really fasten my eyes on the reality that the God of the universe, the Lord, shepherds my soul and is my shepherd and is taking care of my needs, then I say, I don't need anything. Because everything I need, everything I want, God supplies. Amen? And He is able to supply it because of who He is. Now let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 2. Israel is in the wilderness. And, of course, if you and I were taken out into the Arabian desert where they were at and dropped off, we would freak out. We would say, there's no food, there's no water, what am I going to do? And we would totally freak out. But God led His people to that desert. And He did it to demonstrate that He is their shepherd. Deuteronomy chapter 2, and we're going to look at one verse here, verse 7. God is speaking, and it says, for the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord your God has been with you, you have lacked, what does it say? Nothing. You have lacked nothing. Why did they lack nothing? Because the Lord, your God, has been with you. Now, when we got saved, when Jesus moved in on our in our heart, the Lord our God was with us. And our life is compared to this wilderness wandering. And every day we have an opportunity to fear or to have faith. Every day we have an opportunity to praise God in all things or to be a little freaked out or murmur or complain. But the scripture says, these 40 years the Lord your God has been with you and you have lacked nothing. I wish somebody would shout. Because listen to what the scripture says. I'm putting my name there. Put your name there. These however many years since you got saved, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing. Amen? I don't see anybody wearing a toe sack. I don't think anybody came here this morning starving to death. We may have some trials and tribulations, but I have good news. The Lord is our shepherd. And he's going to be with us through everything this journey takes us through. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Now let's look at 1 Kings 17. We were almost there in chapter 18 in Sunday school when we were looking up the potty verse. 1 Kings 17. You missed it, Eddie. Yeah. 1 Kings 17. You never know what's going to happen in Sunday school. See what happens when you miss Sunday school, Eddie? 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to look at verse 6. Elijah has proclaimed a drought. Think about it. Think about the illogic of prophesying a drought when you know you got to eat too. But it didn't faze Elijah. The scripture says the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. You know what? I don't need a job. I need a shepherd. Amen? Because whatever I face, God, the Lord, is my shepherd, and he will take care of me. And when Elijah prophesied the drought and everybody else is starving, the man of God is getting two meals a day delivered, not by dominoes, but by the ravens. Amen? And they dropped him off. I don't know what it was. It doesn't say. I'd like to think it wasn't worms. But the man got to eat, and he got to drink, because God is our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. And therefore, we have no want because of him. Amen? Now, eventually in this chapter, the brook runs dry and the birds are out looking for something for themselves. And so the man of God, you know, when the brook runs dry, that's when it's time to move on. You know, I was thinking that at our Old Faith Fellowship, the brook was running dry. And I wasn't sure what we were going to do, but the Lord took care of it, didn't he? Because he's our shepherd. Now, as the story goes on and we come down about 10 verses to verse 16, you know the story, Elijah went to a widow. And she's out gathering sticks to cook her last meal because she doesn't have food either. She's got just enough oil and enough flour to make her and her son a cake, and then they're planning on eating their last meal and dying. But God had other plans. Because the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord God shepherds us, therefore we do not want. And so Elijah tells her to fix him a cake first. The audacity of the man of God. You got a need? Okay, put some money in the offering and then let's talk about it. Because you sow and then you reap, right? See, people think, well, that's one of them New Testament verses that people made up just to fleece the people out of money. It's a God thing. It's not a man thing. It's a God thing. You sow, and then you reap. And so he says, you go, and you make me food first. Let's back up to verse 14. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. You think you're freaked out? Lady, don't freak out. Don't you know the Lord is our shepherd? Don't you know God is in control? Don't you know God can do it? Don't you know that He's not intimidated by droughts or famines or what CNN is saying or what the headline news are saying or what the weather patterns are? The Lord is our shepherd. Verse 15. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. Because, read it with me, the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the headlines. According to the way she felt. According to her mood. No. The oil didn't run dry according to the word of the Lord. I said according to the word of the Lord, according to God's word. And when the devil begins to breathe down our necks and bring fear and intimidation, we eyeball and we square our shoulders and say, thus says the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Can I get an amen? Well, how can you say that? I can say it according to the word of the Lord. If God said it, He'll do it. If He spoke it, He'll bring it to pass. No weapon formed against us can prosper. Every tongue that rises against us will condemn. This is the heritage of the children of God, according to the word of the Lord. Take that, devil. Amen. According to the word of the Lord. Well, I just don't know about that. I heard so-and-so said that, and then this happened to him. Well, I can't speak for so-and-so, but I'm standing on the bedrock of God's word. I don't care what the senators say. I don't care what the governors say. I don't care what the White House says. I don't care who's in the Oval Office next term. I'm not looking at the president to save me. My eyes are on the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land. There's nothing too hard for Him. According to the word of the Lord. Now, Elijah's journey didn't end here. When we flip over to chapter 19, Elijah, and this just goes to show you that we're all human. Because here's the man that called fire from heaven in chapter 18. We saw how he fed the widow in chapter 17. And then we get to chapter 19, and Ahab tells Jezebel about him calling fire from heaven and how he'd execute the prophets. And Jezebel sends a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do so to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow at this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. When the man of God ran. When you read Ephesians, the armor of God, there is no backplate. The child of God is not supposed to run from the devil. We have a breastplate of righteousness. We have a shield of the Spirit. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. God never intends us to run from the devil. And if someone runs, don't condemn them, because Elijah did it, and you probably will too at one point in your life, until you remember, what am I doing? Why am I thinking this way? Satan is a liar. He's devious. He's cunning. He loves to intimidate us with doubt and fear and unbelief, and Elijah is running. And he goes a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and he sat down on the broom tree, and he prayed that he would die. And then we find in verse 5 that he lay and he slept under the broom tree, and suddenly an angel touched him. Kicked him in the side, probably. Hey, wake up. Get up and eat. And he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked, IHOP, on coals, and a jar of water. Now, where'd that jar of water come from? Came from God, delivered by an angel. So he ate and he drank and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time, kicked him on the side again. Get up, man of God. Arise and eat, because the journey's too great for you. And so he arose and he ate and he drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Our destiny is secure in Jesus Christ. Amen. It is secure. Doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what anybody says. We trust the Word of God. And then we come to his successor, Elisha's ministry. We'll just jump on over to 2 Kings 4. Don't you love these Old Testament stories? They inspire us. They encourage us. It's the same God. It's not a different God. It's the same God. The same God that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in me. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. Chapter 4, verse 1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be slaves." Back in those days, they didn't just repossess your stuff. They repossessed your kids and made them slaves if you couldn't pay. Yeah. And Elisha said to her, what do you want me to do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, now notice again, this is it. It's what do you have? Sometimes we want God to do all the work. Jesus could have told that stone to move before he raised Lazarus from the grave, but he let us participate. What do you got in the house? She said, I don't have anything in the house but a jar of oil. And he said, go and borrow. Now, you have to wonder, did Elisha know what he was going to do before then? See, that's the way the Holy Spirit works. You typically don't. You start prophesying, yea, I say unto thee. And then whatever comes out of your mouth is Spirit-led. And trust me, if any of you that know what I'm talking about, you've been surprised by what comes out of your mouth at times. Because it's God, not man. Amen? And so he asked her, what do you got? A jar of oil. Okay. I know what the Lord wants me to say next. Go and borrow vessels from everywhere, from your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you've come in, you will shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So again, we're sowing and reaping. We've got this one jar of oil, and I'm going to pour it in these empty vessels. And the one jar just keeps filling the vessels. And it keeps filling the vessels. You know, I mentioned our neighbors next door. And as I was praying this week, the Lord said, empty vessels. Amen. Our ministry should be take empty vessels and bring them into our house and fill them. Amen. And I, for one, want to make our first project, beyond the paint and beyond the repairs, empty vessels that God wants to fill. Are you with me, church? Amen. And so, I'll paraphrase the rest of the story. You can read it yourself. The Lord, the shepherd of our souls, through Elisha the prophet, says, go fill them, and they filled them until they were all filled. And he said, now go sell them and pay your debt. And they paid off the debt. The house is clear. The kids don't get repossessed. And God gets the victory because he is our shepherd and the shepherd of our souls. Amen. And then Matthew 14. Got to have one New Testament verse, huh? Matthew 14. Verse 15. When it was evening, his disciples came to him being Jesus, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitude away that they may go into the village and buy themselves food." You know, one of the greatest challenges to be spirit-led is to quit listening to your own intellect. I just want that to sink in for a minute, because I know we've all been guilty. We think that we have got everything figured out, but God doesn't operate through our intellect. Sometimes he does. I'm not saying throw common sense out the window, but if you trust solely in your intellect, you will miss God 9 out of 10 times. We are called to be spirit-led, not intellect-led. And the intellectual thing that the apostles came to Jesus and they're giving him intellectual advice. "Jesus, I don't know if you know what time it is, but the sun's going down and these people..." Now, you're talking to God who created the universe. I think he knows they're hungry. But we're going to tell Jesus how it needs to be done because we've got this thing figured out. We're intellectuals. "And you need to send these people into town so that they can buy food so they don't go hungry." Jesus was just waiting for them to say that. The only problem is with us intellectuals is that Jesus isn't here to correct us. So we have to be spirit-led. Otherwise, we will miss God. If you can't say amen, say ouch. Now, he said, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." He's putting the monkey on their back. Why is Jesus putting the monkey on their back? Because we are to be his hands and feet. He knows he's not going to be there nursing them along for the next 2,000 years, and he's wanting them to be, number one, spirit-led, and number two, spirit-used, right? And so when you see a need, instead of looking at it intellectually, say, "Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? You want me to perform a miracle and feed these people." Do you know what? If we could go out and feed the masses the way Jesus did, we wouldn't have trouble filling this church. Because all people are looking for is something real and something genuine. They don't want religion. They want to know God is alive. They want to know the tomb is empty. They want to see a miracle. And the Bible says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover." And that's our ministry. The signs are to follow the preaching. We preach the cross, and we heal the sick. We feed the hungry. We act like Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Roger. So he commands the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he looked up to heaven, he blessed and broke it, the loaves, and gave it to the disciples. Disciples gave it to the multitude, and they all ate and were filled. Pick up 12 baskets full of fragments, the remainders. And those that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides the women and kids. Wouldn't you love to have been there to see that? I've seen it done in the movies, and I don't think it compares if you were there. You know, standing right next to Andrew and Simon Peter, John and James, and watching somehow that basket who would just had the few fish and bread just continue to grow and grow and grow. And again, it's the sowing and reaping. Every time they took one out, two went in. Think about it. Well, do you really believe that, Brother Roger? I believe it because the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Hallelujah. I said the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Well, glory to God. I was getting ready to call Nola up, but she's gone, so we're going to just pause for a minute. She'll be back. Our challenge in the days to come from this morning's message is to not trust our intellect, but to trust the Lord. To remember that the Lord is our shepherd. And, you know, we've all heard the 23rd Psalm messages. We've all heard about, you know, making me lie down in green pastures and leading me beside still waters and restoring my soul. But do we really have to know that? If we know that we know that we know that Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, that there's nothing too hard for Him, then all of that other stuff happens without us even having to think about it. Hallelujah. Come on up, Miss Nola. I got one more verse I want to close with from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. What is our confession? The Lord is my shepherd. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah is right. Let him save this morning. I'm glad the Lord is my shepherd. And notice this passage says, you know, mercy in time of need. Doesn't say, well, you're never going to have a need now. Now that you figured out Jesus is your shepherd, you're never going to get depressed, discouraged, you're not going to have bills, you're not going to have sickness. Oh, I'll have all of those. May have it tomorrow or this afternoon, you never know. But we hold fast our confession because this shepherd is also our great high priest. And he has passed into the heavens. He is sitting at the right hand of God, interceding, praying for you and me. He was tempted as we are in all manners. He knows everything you've went through, he's went through. Yet he did it without sin. And that's what makes him such an awesome high priest and such a compassionate shepherd. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, High Priest, Son of God, Shepherd of my soul. Thank you, Lord, for the victory we have in knowing whose we are. You provided for the widow. You provided for the children of Israel in the wilderness wandering. You fed 5,000. There's nothing too hard for you. And so this morning, we carry out of here in our mouth our confession of faith that the Lord God is our shepherd, and And because of that, we shall not want. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Oh, let Him have the things that hold you and His Spirit like a dove will descend. Jesus.